Amen. God bless you this morning. I think most of you guys probably noticed that I was running a bit late. And I apologize for that. But sometimes life just hinders you. Sometimes life just gets in the way of living. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming this morning to worship with us. I pray that you'll set your heart in a position this morning where God can speak to you. He's got something he wants to tell you. And I pray that you'll be open and ready to receive it. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. I want us to focus this morning on verses 31 through verse 39. I thought about it coming up the road. I thought about how there's a lifetime of preaching in these 8 verses. But I only have about 15 minutes of it this morning. So I ask you to pray with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through verse 39 reads, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Thank you. You may be seated. Father, thank you this morning that you are divinely and eternally in love with us. We thank you for all of the benefits, for all of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you this morning that every one of us who are followers of Christ, who have put our faith in Christ, we can live with bold confidence, knowing that you are faithful, you are trustworthy, you're the one who is more than enough. I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to us in such a way that all of us would be able to understand it and to live it out in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On last week, I tried to talk to us about our confidence in the Lord. Throughout the 8th chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul has been trying to show to us the blessings that we experience and we enjoy because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul's been trying to show us the glory of God's grace. He's been trying to uncover for us and unravel for us the splendor of God's salvation. In fact, I think it's safe to say that the Apostle Paul has been bragging about how good God is. He's been boasting about the wonderful things that God has done for us as believers. On last week, I talked to you about our confidence that we can have in Christ Jesus no matter what we face. No matter what our circumstances in this present life may be, regardless of the darkness of our past, we can live with confidence when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul in this 8th chapter of the book of Romans lists some of the benefits, some of the blessings that we have that ought to promote in us, that ought to create in us blessed assurance, bold confidence as we travel from earth to glory. I want to just name a few of them that Paul talked about that he lists for us in this 8th chapter. In verse number 1, Paul said, you ought to live with confidence because there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In verse 2, Paul said, you ought to live with confidence. You ought to live with bold expectation because you've been set free by the Spirit of God. In verse 11, Paul said, you ought to live with confidence because you have the promise of a future resurrection. In verse 17, Paul said, we ought to live with confidence because of the promise of a divine inheritance. In verse 18, Paul said, you ought to live with confidence because of the promise of the future glory that will be ours. And this glory that is coming to us will outweigh any present suffering. In verse 28, we have the awesome assurance that God is working everything together for the good of them that love him. Amen. We can live with confidence. We can face tomorrow with confidence. We can deal with every issue and every problem in our present life with confidence because we know that the God who is above every circumstance, who is above every problem, is taking these things and he's working them out for our good and for his glory. And so Paul has been bragging. He's been boasting about the goodness of God, and somebody perhaps in the crowd would ask Paul, what is the basis of all of this confidence that you got? What is the foundation for all of this? We hear you bragging. We hear you boasting about there's no condemnation. We hear you bragging about the grace of God, but we want to know, what is the basis of this confidence? And in verses 31 through 39, I believe that the Apostle Paul lays down for us the basis of our confidence, the foundation of our confidence. I remember when I was in high school, I told you before that we had a pretty good basketball team. Whenever we hit the floor, we were confident, regardless of how good you were, we were confident that at the end of the night, we were going to be victorious. Somebody would say, well, what's the basis of that confidence? What is the basis? What is the foundation of your strong belief that you were going to win? We just believed we were better than you. We didn't say you wasn't good. We didn't say that you couldn't play the game. We just believed that we could play the game as a team better than you could. That was the basis of our confidence. I want to tell you this morning in this little 15-minute message that Paul lays down for us some basis, some foundation, some ground that we can establish our confidence on in this text. Paul said the first basis that you and I have for our confidence is that no one or nothing can defeat us. It's right there in verse 31 and 32. Look at it with me. Paul said, what shall we say then to these things? What do we say to the suffering that all of us have to experience on our way from earth to glory? How do we answer the question about our struggle with sin that all of us have to deal with as we try to live for Jesus? What is our response to all that the problems and the difficulties that we have to face in our personal lives and in our church life and the problems that we face in this nation and in this world? What is our response? Paul said, well, here's the basis of my confidence. He said, if God be for us, who shall be against us? If God is on our side, if God is working for us, if God has taken up our cause, if God is protecting us, if God is providing for us, if God is in our camp, it really don't matter who's in the other camp. If God is on our team, it really don't matter who's on the other team. Paul said the basis of our confidence as believers is who's on our side. He said no one can defeat us. No one can overthrow us. Paul said, listen, we have God on our side. And I hope this morning that you believe that. As you deal with life struggles, as you deal with life situations, as you have to deal with being human and you fall and you make a mess of life sometime and you screw up things and you mess up things sometime, I hope that you will always get back up knowing that if God is for me, it really don't matter who's against me. I want you to get the full feel of what Paul is saying. Listen, Paul didn't say that there was no one against us. Listen, he didn't say that we don't have some enemies in this life. The world, the devil, the flesh, and sometimes people around us will align themselves against us. But Paul said, look, here's why we can have confidence. Here's why we can face every battle, every fight, every situation with confidence. Because he that is with us is bigger and badder than he that is with them. Amen. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Listen, Solid Rock, if God is for you this morning, I want to tell you that he is. I want to tell you, listen, God is for you this morning. God is not against you. Listen, don't matter what your past may have been. Don't matter about your present circumstances. If you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, if you have trusted him as your Lord and Savior, God is for you this morning. And if he's for you, he's more than the whole world against you. Amen. Paul said, first of all, here's the basis of our confidence. Here's why we can live bold. Listen, here's why we can live excited. Is because God is for us. No one can defeat us. Nothing can defeat us. We are more than conquerors, according to the Apostle Paul, because of him that loves us. Paul, in verse 32, bags up this argument. In verse 31, Paul said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then in verse 32, He backs it up with some facts. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Paul said, not only is God for us as believers, But God has invested in us through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen at the verse. Listen at the heart of the verse. He said, for he that spared not his own son. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Listen, God loved you so much. God was so much on your side. God was so determined to bless your life. When he could do it no other way, he gave us his son. He delivered, listen to me. Paul said he delivered up his son for us all. When sin has separated us from God, when the devil was having his way in our lives, when we were on our way to hell and we couldn't do anything about it, the only way God could deliver us and save us is that he had to give up his son. But God freely gave his son so that he could deliver us. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. He's invested in you this morning. He's invested in you this morning. Listen, he's invested in you this morning. Paul says, here's why we can't be defeated. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now watch this, watch this. He said, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now Paul is making an argument here. And to prove his point, he goes from the greater to the lesser. Now for all of us who come here this morning worried about how we're going to pay our bills, worried about whether or not we're going to have a job tomorrow. Listen, worried about what the financial situation might be in America tomorrow. Worried about who's going to be in the White House after this election. The Apostle Paul said, look, if God is willing to give you the most precious thing he has, which is his son, how shall he not with him freely give you all things? Listen, if God would give you Jesus, what make you think that God gonna fail you in helping you pay your bills?
Amen. Amen.
Listen, if God will give you Jesus to solve your eternal problem, what make you think that God gonna fall short in helping you solve your personal problems?
Amen.
I wish somebody would help me this morning. Oh, he gave you Jesus, Dwight. He gave you the apple of his eye. He gave you the love of his life. He loved you so much that he said to his son, son, they are in trouble down there. And the only way they can get out of trouble is you got to get in trouble with them. And Jesus willingly laid aside his royal life, his holy life, and came down and invested in us. Let me tell you something right there while I'm right there. Don't you never let the devil tell you you're not valuable. Didn't get enough amens on that.
Amen.
Listen, don't you ever let the devil convince you that you're not special. Listen, if God will give you Jesus, God will give you glory.
Amen.
Paul said, here's the first basis of our confidence. Here's why we can live with confidence. We can live with confidence because God is for us. And God proved that he was for us when he gave us his son. When he delivered him up for us all. But then there's a second thing that Paul says that we need to see. That is a basis for our confidence. Paul said, not only can no one defeat us. Paul said, but no one can bring a condemning charge against us. Now that's important. Don't listen to how I said it. Listen to what I said. Paul said, nobody can bring a condemning charge against us and make it stick. Look at verse 33 and 34. Paul said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for the saints. Now, listen, if you've been saved for any length of time, you know that one of the things the devil is always doing The devil is always coming against us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Listen, he's always coming against us, and he comes against us in three ways. Number one, he comes trying to defeat us. Paul talked about that in verse 31 and 32. If that don't work, his next move is to come to us trying to condemn us. And Paul deals with that in verse 33 and 34. He said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Listen, who's able to bring any charges against us? Any accusations against us and make them stick? Now, you got to understand this right here. It's not that we don't have some charges.
That's right. Amen.
It's not, Terry Glover, that we're not guilty of some things.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. The problem with the charges is that Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the debt for the charges that's leveled against us. Listen what Paul said. He said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? First of all, it is God that justifies. I told you that the word justified means to make right, to set in a right relationship. That's what God has done for you. That's what God has done for me. That's what God has done for us as believers. Listen, we were guilty. There's no doubt about that. We were guilty. We broke his laws. We sinned against him. We violated his commandments. But through the cross of Jesus Christ, God made righteous sinners.
Amen. Amen.
He took criminals and made them saints. Amen. He took rebels and adopted them into his family and clothed us with the righteousness of Christ. And so now when the devil brings an accusation against us, it might be true, but it won't stick.
Amen. Amen.
It won't stick. And the reason why it won't stick, Paul tells us in verse 34, who is he that condemns us? It is Christ who died for us. Jesus died. Jesus died. Now listen, Solid Rock, you got to understand this, and we'll run to a close. But sin is serious with God. God will never overlook sin. God will never turn his head from sin. God will never ignore sin. Whenever you and I sin, whether we consider it big or small, that sin must be paid for. But thank God this morning that at the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid a debt for us that we could not pay for ourselves. He paid the full price of our sin. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. We can live with confidence this morning. And the basis of our confidence is that he died. He died. He died in my place. He died where I should have died. He suffered where I should have suffered. He was buried where I should have been buried. Thank God this morning for the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. In fact, I want to show you this morning four things that Paul says in that verse. Look at verse 34. Paul said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. But not only did he die, yea, he risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for the saints. Now, Paul said four things in that verse that ought to make us shout. Paul said four things in that verse that ought to make us excited. He said, first of all, he died.
Amen.
Didn't he die?
He died.
He died. But he didn't stay dead.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, he died, but he didn't stay dead.
That's right.
Hell and death and the devil aligned all of their powers at the tomb of Jesus Christ, but they couldn't hold him.
Yes, they did.
He died,
yes, sir.
But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. But then not only did he rise, Paul said he ascended to the highest place. Now, I want you to think about this. Listen, I want you to think about the fact that we got a friend
Amen.
In Jesus.
Yes, we do.
who has been where we don't have to go. Listen, who accomplished for us what we couldn't accomplish for ourselves. And now he's seated at the right hand of God. And Paul said, listen, he's not just sitting there, but he's making intercession for the saints. Listen, he's praying for you. He's pleading your cause. Listen, he's saying to the Father, every time you fall, don't give them what they deserve. Give them grace. Every time you make a mistake, every time you come here and fail to worship him like you ought to, the Father said, look, don't give him what he deserves. Don't lay to him what he ought to get. Listen, give him grace because I paid for this mess that they making. Lord, have mercy. He's making intercession for the saints. He's pleading. Listen to me. He's pleading for you this morning. He's praying for you. Listen, he's praying, God, give him another chance. God, hold back from them what they ought to get. Give to them what they don't deserve. He's making intercession for the saints. Listen, the basis of our confidence is, number one, nobody can defeat us. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm facing some things in life. I'm dealing with some issues in life. The devil has lined up some of his most dangerous weapons in my direction. But I thank God this morning that Jesus Christ is more than enough to whoop every enemy, to overcome every problem, to deal with every weakness that Anthony Bledsoe have in his life. He's bigger than what I'm facing. Nobody can defeat us, but then not only listen, nobody can bring a charge against us and make it stick. I like to use this, and I'm closing now, but I always think about this right here. I think about how that you can't charge me for what Jesus paid for.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all can look at me and tell I like to eat. So a lot of my illustration is in this by eating. But I won't ever forget when the Lord began to show this to me. He showed me going to Shoney's one day. And he said, Anthony, you went to the sin of Shoney's and you ate all you could from the buffet. You ate the bread that you ought not to eat. You enjoyed the steak that you ought not have. You ate all of that you could from the sin of Shoney's. But then when it was time to pay, you didn't have the money to pay. The manager said, either you got to pay or you got to go to jail. But thank God this morning that a man by the name of Jesus walked in Shoney's and he paid for me a debt that I could not pay. Yes, I ate it. Yeah, I did it. I ate it and I didn't have nothing to pay with. But Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, paid my debt. And so now, whatever the devil accuses me of, it might be true, but it won't stick because the debt's been paid. But then let me tell you one final thing this morning. And that is, there's no one or nothing that can separate us from his love. Three things the devil is always trying to do, and he's trying to do it this morning in somebody's life right here. He's trying to defeat you in your mind. He's trying to condemn you in your heart. And he's trying to get you away. He's trying to separate you from the God who loves you. Now let me tell you something. Listen, I thank God that there's more being done to keep me with God on his end than what I'm doing on my end. Because on my end, I fail. On my end, listen, on my end, I let him down. But on that end, from that side, everything is in order. Yeah. Listen what Paul says. Listen. Verse 33 to the end of the chapter, we'll go home. Paul said, who shall separate us? from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, I'm sorry, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things. Now listen, what things are you talking about? He's talking about all them things that he named in verse 35. Listen, all of us have some tribulation. All of us have some distress. All of us experience some persecution. All of us go through some famine in life, nakedness and peril and sword. It comes to us all. But Paul said, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Verse 38, Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, here it is, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know what Paul's saying? Paul said, look, what you've been through couldn't do it. What you're going through now can't do it. And what you might go through in the future can't do it. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Nothing. I rejoice in that this morning. I thank God for that this morning. I thank God for what Paul says here. He said, listen, nothing. Let me tell you what nothing means. Nothing means nothing. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No sin that you committed.
Come on.
No person that misused you. No circumstance that you went through. Don't matter whether you're rich or broke. Listen, don't matter if you're well or sick. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus,
thank
our Lord.
Lord.
That's the message this morning.